Okay, now let me ask you this. Talking about prayer, talking about God doing things in our lives, have you ever experienced something in your life that was so big, you're standing there and going, oh, Lord, how am I ever going to tackle this one? You know what I'm talking about? Maybe it's you're facing a challenge with health. Maybe you're facing a challenge at work. Maybe it's home. Maybe it's that kid of yours. And you go, God, you brought him into the world. Can you just take him and keep him for just a couple of more years until he smartens up or she smartens up? Maybe there's something in your life that was so incredibly overwhelming. And you're sitting there and you're going, dear Jesus. When we were, my son and I were running last year, we came to a hill. And we started running up this hill. And I'm sure it was about 10 miles long. Like, it wasn't, but I felt like it was. And you just kept climbing and climbing and climbing. Anybody ever run up a hill before? Jackie, you know what I'm talking about. So I'm running, and I'm about halfway up the hill. And somebody holds up a sign in front of my face, and it says, it's a hill, get over it. And I'm like, this is not helping me. It's not helping me. But sometimes we face those hills and those challenges, don't we, folks? And see, here's the thing. I believe God has given us the capacity and the ability to overcome and not be overcome by the challenges that face us. I believe in the Word of God, and I believe where Jesus said in Mark chapter 11, verse 23, he says, I tell you the truth. If anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea and does not doubt in his heart, but he believes what he says will happen, it will be done for him. I believe that. I believe God can help us overcome this mountain. Well, we're in the book of Nehemiah, not Nehemiah, in the book of Nehemiah, and we're looking at Nehemiah chapter 2. And here is this guy named Nehemiah. He's a cupbearer for the king, and he is facing an incredible mountain. And he's looking at it, and he's thinking, I want to see this scaled. I want to see this overcome, but he knows he can't do it on his own strength. And he needs the faith to be able to move this thing and get this thing going. And we want to talk about that here this morning from Nehemiah chapter 2. How about we pray first of all? Father, I thank you again for your word. I thank you again for the fact that you have instilled within us an ability to do good things, great things for your kingdom. And God, I pray that we would take that step necessary, whatever it is that you want us to do, that step of faith, to move forward in you and see those things, those challenges, those oppositions melt away in the name of Jesus as we continue to move forward in faith. So God, direct us here this morning, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In order for us to move that mountain, we have to have faith. And the faith we have to it starts with a faith to wait. A faith to wait. Here's what it says in Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. It says this, In the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was brought for him, I took the wine and gave it to the king. I had not been sad in his presence before, so the king asked me, why does your face look so sad when you are not ill? This can be nothing but sadness of the heart. Faith to wait. I'm not a good person in waiting. You can ask my wife, she can tell you this. I don't always have the best patience. I go to put my food in the microwave, and I put, just to heat it up, and I can't wait the 25 seconds it takes to make that stuff warm, so I pull it out early. Anybody else with me there? Am I alone? There's just a couple others. Well, pray for me, okay? But listen, you know it's true. You know it's true. In our society, waiting is not something we do very happily. We don't like to wait. We want things fast. I was talking to Patricia driving to church this morning. Do you know that there are certain McDonald's that will now deliver? Isn't that crazy? We want it fast, but we don't even want to go out to get the stuff. You better bring it to me. We got a messed up society, I'm just saying. But waiting is something that we have a difficult time. And we want things instant, very, very instant. I read about a tourist that came from a third world country. And he came to the United States, first time. First time in the United States. He had never been there before. And his host took him into a shopping center. And they were looking around, and this tourist was overwhelmed at the selection that we have here. And he saw something. It said powdered milk. Powdered milk. And he asked his host, what is this? And he says, well, it's powder. All you do is add water and you get milk. And then he walks further and he sees another bag and it says powdered eggs. And he says, wow, what's this? He says, all you got to do is add water and you get eggs. And he walks down another aisle and it said baby powder. And he says, man, only in America. We don't like to wait. We want things very quickly, very instant. Well, let's jump to this scripture here. It says, in the month of Nisan. Now, I want you to get this. In the month of Nisan, which is around mid-March to mid-April, it said, if you go back to Nehemiah chapter 1, when Nehemiah got the word from the Lord that the walls were broken down, it was the month of Kislev. The month of Kislev, which was about mid-November, mid-December. November, December, January, February, March, April. He has been sitting around for 5 months. 5 months have been passed since he got the bad news about these walls being broken down. And what is he doing? What is he doing? Is he panicking? Is he freaking out? Is he trying to conjure up some help? Is he sitting in a corner sucking his thumb? No, what he's doing is he's praying. He's saying, God, the walls are broken down. You called me to do something about this. What do you want from me? And God says, I want you to wait. It's not time yet. It's not yet time yet, Nehemiah. The walls will be built, but it's got to be my time. It's got to be the right time before you can actually activate it. Listen to what it says in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12. It says this, we do not want to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and what? Patience inherited what was promised. They got the inheritance through faith and patience. And sometimes, folks, we just have to step back and say, God, I need to trust you and wait. Now, that doesn't mean they were lazy. It doesn't mean they were sitting back on their lawn chair, sipping lemonade, and saying, God, when you're ready, let me know. In the meantime, I'm going to enjoy a nice nap in the shade. No, I find it interesting what it says here in the New King James Version. We don't want you to become sluggish. I love that word, sluggish. Can you see it? Can you see the slug slowly crawling across the ground, leaving a trail of slime behind him? See, sometimes we can be like that, folks. We move and we begin to leave a mess behind us. And God says, hang on a second. I don't want you to become sluggish. I got work for you to do, but I want you to do it in the right time. And God's time is always the right time, isn't it? This couple weeks ago, I had a great opportunity to go to Duck and Beth's place and see their little girl. Now, I think I got a picture up there. Oh, now, come on, isn't that great? This picture's better. I wish we could zoom in there. You know, I felt for little Beth. I call her little Beth. I felt for Beth because she was in labor for 40 hours. Now, they call it labor for a reason, but 40 hours being in labor, I'm sure that she just wanted that little person out of her body, right? I'm pretty sure. Moms, you know what I'm talking about. Guys, you got no clue. Let's just be honest, okay? 40 hours. She won't do anything, but she had to trust the process. She had to trust the doctors, and she had to trust God. Sometimes it's labor, folks. Sometimes it's labor. But we got to have faith to say, God, I'm going to stand and I'm going to wait according to your perfect plan. And can I encourage you, folks, we need to trust God and trust that he will bring a calmness to our soul. If we are rushing here and rushing there and trying to make things happen in our own strength, it's not going to get us very far. But we got to trust God. Trust God. I love Exodus chapter 14. Exodus chapter 14. Now think about this. You've got the Egyptians that are following the children of Israel. They're in a big, big mess. And they're about, they've got a serious army on their tail. And they're starting to panic. And I love what Moses says. He says, do not be afraid, stand firm, and you will see the deliverance of the Lord. He will bring you today. Do not be afraid. We were talking about this in my Lyft group this last Wednesday night. Fear can cripple you in a very big way. It is an incredibly dangerous force if we allow it to take control. There's death right there. How's it going, girl? If you allow it to cripple you, it will bring about some bad things in your life. But be still and know. You all know it. Psalm chapter 46, verse 10. Be still and know that He is God. He will see us through. So you got to start with faith to wait. And listen, I'm talking to myself. God, help me to wait before You and to trust You, because deliverance will come. So Nehemiah, he was standing, came before the king. And he had been waiting for 5 months. And for some reason that day, something was stirring within his heart. Or maybe God revealed, well, He obviously revealed something to King Artaxerxes. See, here's the thing. Back in that day, you didn't come before the king with bad news. You just didn't do it. Because he would take you out. And I'm not talking for dinner. He would throw you out of his place, and you may lose your life. So he pasted a smile on his face and did everything he could to play the part. But something happened that day, and God spoke to King Artaxerxes. So secondly, you have to have faith to wait, but then faith to ask. And the king says to him, Nehemiah, what's going on? You look sad. But I know you're not sick. And Nehemiah says, I was very much afraid, the scripture says, but I said to the king, may the king live forever. Why should my face not look sad when the city where my fathers are buried lies in ruins and its gates have been destroyed by fire? Why should I not look sad? I find it interesting. It starts by saying, I was very much afraid. In the NLT says, I was terrified. And in the New King James Version, it says, I was dreadfully afraid. Why is he so afraid? Was he afraid that he could lose his life because he didn't have a smile on his face? Possibly. Was he afraid that he shouldn't be coming before the king in such a manner? Possibly. But I believe that Nehemiah was afraid because he understood the gravity of the situation before him. Because, see, here's the thing. This same king that he stood before at that point in time, King Artaxerxes, was the same king in the book of Ezra. When they started working on the wall, and the enemy came up and they said, man, these guys, what are they trying to do? And they caused problems. King Artaxerxes says, shut her down. You're not allowed to build this wall. So now here was Nehemiah. Sometime later going, I got to make this happen, but I can't do this in my own strength. Listen, what do you do when you face an overwhelming situation and you know now you've got to make a decision? See, Nehemiah could have easily said to the king, King, it's all good. You know, last night I ate something and I just... And, you know, I'm okay. I'll be good. And he walks out. No, he had a choice to make. And his choice was, at this point in time, he had to take a stand and say, there's a situation and I'm going to need some help. I'm going to need some help. One of my favorite pictures of all times is this picture of this soldier facing face to face of a Mohawk Indian during the Oka crisis in Quebec. First Nations were standing in Quebec. There was a big uproar. I won't get into it. But I love this picture. Do you see the resolve in this guy's eyes? This soldier. He knew, man, it doesn't matter what happens right now. If I'm going down, I'm going down. But I will not move. See, here's the thing. When you stand and take a stand for the things of God. And when the enemy tries to intimidate you, and he can be pretty big and pretty intimidating, and he stares you in your eyes, if you say, Lord, in Jesus' name, I will not move. I will not move. And if you have the faith to stand up against the devil, man, you have no idea the difference we can make for our kingdom. See, here's the problem, folks. Here's the problem. For too many years, the church has cowered as soon as something stands against them. So right now, what is happening? We've got this Soji thing that has come against the church. And you know what breaks my heart? This last week, I went for training. By the way, for those that don't know, Soji, sexual orientation, gender identity, they're forcing it into the schools. They want kids to make a choice if they want to be a boy or a girl. Okay? So if you don't want to be a boy anymore, guess what? We'll give you hormone blockers. Down the road, we'll give you an operation. You can become whatever you want. And they're pushing this agenda more and more and more. And you know what's crazy is I've heard of churches that said, man, we don't want a part of that. You know what? It'll pass. We'll just pretend, la, 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 it doesn't affect us. Our generation today are being attacked by the enemy, and we have to take a stand. Yeah, and I tell you this, your pastor is taking a stand. Because I will not allow my children and my grandchildren, Lord Jesus, let them come someday. Let her get married, first of all. But I will not allow them to be ripped apart and be thrown into a tizzy because we didn't take a stand. So there comes a time where we have to take a stand. And I can tell you, it is high time that we no longer fear before the enemy, and we have the faith to move forward. So here comes Nehemiah. He's standing before the king, not his enemy, but he stands before the king. And it says here in verse 3, it says, may the king live forever. Why should my face not look sad? It's interesting. He starts with honoring the king in the proper way. He wasn't trying to suck up. It was a term of respect. My face not look sad when the city where my fathers have been buried. I want you to get that. I want you to get what he is saying to this king. See, he doesn't say, why would I not be sad when my city is, the city of Jerusalem is kaput. But he says, where my fathers are buried and it now lies in ruins. See, you know what he was doing here, folks? He knew this king. And he knew that if he could somehow appease or somehow talk about something that was dear to the king, ancestry was very dear to the king. He knew that if he could talk, hey man, king, sir king, my people that are buried, they're desecrating the tombs. And I can just imagine the king going, man, that's not good. That's not good. I don't like that kind of stuff. See, sometimes we need to use a little bit of tact. You following me? Sometimes we need to use a wee bit of tact. It's one thing to go out with your guns half-cocked and go out a blade and blah, 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 blah. Maybe there's a time for that. But there are some times where we have to say, God, help me to know what to do and to do it effectively. So he comes across and he says, let me explain what's going on here. And then the king says to him, verse 4, what is it that you want? And I love this. And I prayed to the God of heaven. Quick Snapchat up to God. Help me. And I answered the king, if it pleases the king and if the servant has found favor in your sight, send me to the city. He asked for two things, two requests. He says, king, send me. King, give me. But he said, first of all, king, I want to go. See, he knew that he couldn't go unless the king would release him to do it. He needed to come under that authority, first of all. But he also knew it had to be him that does the stuff, that does the work. That it reminds me a little bit of another guy in the book of Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. You remember this? Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom will I send? And who will go for us? He's talking about the Godhead. And I said, God, I'm available. There's a task you want to do. God, if you need help, I'm here. I love that verse. I love that verse. Because first of all, Isaiah knew it wasn't his job, it was God's. He knew that the king of the universe was sending, needed somebody to go and to bring a message to the people around. And Isaiah says, God, I may not be a lot, but I'm available. And you may be sitting here and go, you know what? Man, I don't have what it takes. And you may look across the aisle and you may see someone else and go, wow, if I had their skills, if I had their ability, if I had their looks, then I could do this. But God, look at me. So, Lord, here am I. Send them. And God's going, I don't think so. See, because he hasn't called them to that task. He's called you. And the task is a task that the king of the universe wants to get accomplished, and he has called you to accomplish it. Man, if we only had more people that would say, Lord, here am I. Send me. I know I'm only a cupbearer. What did Nehemiah know about building a wall? Like, let's be honest. What in the world did he know about putting bricks and mortar together? He knew well how to taste wine. He knew well how to taste food. But God says, Nehemiah, I want you to head up this task. Are you kidding me? God says, no, I'm not. Why don't you go and do this? And see, folks, here's the thing. I've got a little problem. I've got a little problem called FOMO. Does anybody know what FOMO means? Nobody here knows what FOMO means. What does it mean, Robin? Fear of missing out. I got this fear of missing out. Okay, I'm surprised you guys didn't say anything here. And so when I see something happen, I want to be part of it. So remember a couple years ago, there was a call across Canada, saying the refugees are coming to Canada, and we need people to be involved. Man, I was thinking, man, I want our church involved with that. I really, really do. I want to get on the bandwagon as fast as possible. Now, we could have easily have said, well, you know what? Cedar Grove Baptist, great church. They're doing a fantastic job. We could have said, God, just bless them and help them to use their resources. We could have went to, looked at CLA. Oh, God, they've got they got lots of resources, lots more than us. You know, you use them. But I hope you have a fear of missing out when God puts an opportunity before you. I hope that you say, God, show us how we can be engaged in this opportunity. And I thank the Lord for those that are involved with the refugee ministry right now and what God has done. By the way, the family that we're sponsoring right now, they just had a baby boy. Woohoo! And so we're very excited about that, and we're working with them. But we need to be willing to get involved and get engaged. So what happened was this. Nehemiah says, King, I need you to send me, but I need resources. I can't go unless you give me the resources. And see, here's the thing, folks. God wants to give resources to those that will use them effectively. And for those that are looking to use those resources, not to bring attention to themselves, but attention to others. A few years ago, I showed a video. I don't know if this is going to work or not, but I showed a video of you know, there's some people you want to help in life, and some people you just want to say, dear Jesus, take them back to be with you for all eternity. This is one of those people that you want to say, dear Jesus, take them back for all eternity. Let's see if this thing actually works. Anybody know what a child like that? Oh, Lord. I know a way to fix that, but I can't say that from the pulpit. See, here's the thing, folks. The reason I show that to you is because sometimes people's faith is like that. God, I want this. I want it. I want it. I want it. I want it. And you know, I think sometimes God gives us what we ask for because he says, okay, fine, here. You have it. But guess what? It may not be the best for us. You give those kids those bonbons. You give those kids a bag of candy. It's not going to be healthy for them. Dad should know, right? But sometimes we get so demanding. God wants to bless. God wants to give. But we've got to have the right attitude when we ask. James tells us in James chapter 4, verse 2, it says this. You do not have because what? You do not ask God. And when you ask, you do not receive. Why? Because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your own pleasures. See, God wants to bless us, but why are you asking? Are you asking so that God can use you to be more equipped to do his ministry? Now, there's nothing wrong with asking for things. I mean, God wants to bless. My kids, if we don't get because we don't ask, okay? If my kids wouldn't ask me for stuff, especially when they're younger, now they have no problems asking me for my wallet and my car and my keys and everything else. But when they're younger, if they didn't ask and I didn't know what the situation was, we would still bless them, but they would often go without, right? God wants us to ask, but can I ask you, why are you asking for what you're asking for? What do you want from God? I find it interesting, none of you have ever prayed this prayer, but I find it interesting, I've heard it, maybe not from any of you, and that was, God, would you just bless me? And I'm thinking, God's sitting up in heaven, okay, please, please, just stick with me, follow my illustration. He's sitting up in heaven going like this, bless you. So what exactly you want me to do with that? Bless. Do you want the birds to sing a little bit louder? Do you want another kid? Maybe I should bless you with a kid. I know. The last time, I remember back when somebody asked for blessing, that was Jacob. And I messed up his hip, so he had to limp. Maybe you want me to bless you with arthritis. What are you asking for when you say, God, would you bless me? God, would you use me? To do what? To be what? And for what purpose? Nehemiah said to the king, King, I need some stuff. Here's what I need. I need a letter. I need a letter from you saying that I can go out, I can travel safely in the territories on my way to Judah. I need people to know that I'm on official business and that they don't take me out or take away my stuff. Secondly, King, I need materials. I need building materials. I need the beams. Can you give me another letter so I can go to Asaph, the manager of the king's forest, and get the timbers I need? Lord, bless me, give me. Nehemiah said, King, I need some stuff. You have to have faith to ask. All that to say is you have to have faith to ask. And you have to have faith to ask for the right things at the right time. You know how you know if it's the right thing at the right time? Do you know how? You got communication with the king, right? You're out there holding his cup. You're out there in his presence as often as possible. Nehemiah knew the king. He knew him well enough that he could go to the king and say, Sir King, this is what I need. I'm hoping you know the King of Kings well enough that you know what you need, when you need it, how you need it, and that you are able to ask appropriately. So faith to ask. And lastly, you have to have faith to challenge. You got to challenge. First of all, you got to challenge the elect. You got to challenge the elect. I like what happened here. Nehemiah, the king says, go. Go do what you need to do. Away he went. He went out, it says, at night, and he surveyed the damage. These walls, they are broken down. They need some help. He saw it. Can I just say something? Sometimes we live in a dream world. Okay? Sometimes we plug our ears and we pretend everything is rosy. Going back to the Soji thing, or whatever it is, we kind of plug our ears and pretend it just will all go away. Can I say, there are times you just gotta, listen, you gotta wake up and smell the tea. You gotta smell the tea. because we don't drink coffee here. You got to wake up and realize that there is something going on around you, and it needs some work, and it needs you. But see, you can't do it alone. So Nehemiah went out, and he saw the situation, and what did he do? He rallied the troops. He said, yeah, I went and spoke to the Jewish leaders, the priests, the nobles, the officials, and, or anyone else in the administration. Bring them all in. Bring them in. Bring them in. Bring them in. And he says, look, you know very well that we're in trouble. They're like, yeah. Can't you see? The walls are broken. The enemy comes in on a regular basis. They come again. We got no protection. He says, yeah, you're in trouble. Jerusalem lies in ruins. The gates have been destroyed. Hey, listen, why don't we rebuild? Why don't we rebuild? Let's put an end to this disgrace. And then he began to encourage them. And I told them about how the gracious hand of God had been on me and about my conversation to the king. Guess what, folks? We're not alone in this. We're not alone. The king is willing to give me timbers. And he says, man, I'm behind you. Can you see the spark start to rise up in the people? They had been in this mess for a while, and they're sitting there and they're going, it's hopeless. You know what they needed? They needed a cheerleader. Can I encourage you to be that cheerleader? You know what the world around you needs? They need a cheerleader. You know what the people in this church need? They need a cheerleader. They need somebody to come up and say, man, you know what? God's doing some great things. We've seen some great things this weekend with some youth, and hallelujah, and we should get excited about that. People need cheerleaders. They need somebody that would say, we can do this. And what happened? The troops are rallied. They're thinking, we can do this. We can do this. We can do this. But see, Nehemiah needed to be a cheerleader, but he needed the people as well, didn't he? He needed to go to those people and say, man, I can't do this alone. Can you imagine if he started building that wall on his own strength by himself? He may still be there. The last person that tried that and did that worked on a ship for 120 years. He got her done, but it took him a long time. We need each other, don't we? Guess what? You need me. Hallelujah. Come on, hallelujah. I need you. We need each other. We need to work together. We need to rally the troops. When we built this building, now 10 years ago, it's hard to believe, Pastor Les, 10 years that we, this December 23rd, we'll be in here 10 years. When we built this building, and you know the story, but I'm going to tell it to you again anyways. You remember it. Therese, you remember it very well. There was we had a town hall meeting. And we ran out of money. And the board stood up and said, we're not really sure what to do, folks. We're just coming to you and saying, we're at this impasse. And I'll never forget, one of our people stood up. And she said, we can do this. God has brought us this far. We can do this. And those that were discouraged, they thought, man, you know what? Maybe we can. And she said, look what God has provided. And we started looking at the miracles. And she began to encourage. And we built this building. We built this building with the help of the Lord. See, we need each other, but we need the faith to know we can do this. What God has called us to do, we can do this. We can make a difference in our community. We can bring the gospel of Jesus to those who have never heard, to the places like Cedar Gardens that are, the kids are standing there and going, well, whose birthday is on December 25th? We can bring that message and that hope. We can do it, but we need to stand and make the difference. So he challenged the elect, those chosen by God, but he also challenged the enemy. He challenged the enemy. It says this, but when Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem, the Arab, heard of our plans, they scoffed contemptuously. What are you doing? Are you rebelling against the king? They asked. And let me explain who these guys are. Sanballat, he was an official in Syria of some sort. He was trouble for Nehemiah because he had an official position. Tobiah is an interesting person. He is a guy that had relatives within Jerusalem. He had relatives, and actually it tells us that he had some sort of connection with one of the priests in the city at that time. So dangerous guy to have around. And Gosham, however you say his name, he was an ally with these guys. So what it was Sanballat, he would go out, he would rally the army against what the Jews were doing. And Tobiah and Gosham, they would go around and they would get the information. They would get the information from the inner circle, from inside the camp. You know, I think sometimes some of our greatest enemies are inside the camp. I think sometimes, and Scripture surely tells us, that the enemy plants weeds within the wheat. And we need to be very prayerful and mindful about that. Now, that's not here at all, because we are all lovers of Jesus. Hallelujah. And I'm grateful of the church that we have. But we need to be mindful that the attack sometimes comes within. So what was Nehemiah going to do about this? He's got these three guys standing up against him and saying, man, what are you doing? Well, he could have ignored them and said, man, you know what? I've got a whole group of people. I got no time for you. See, but the problem was, if he would have ignored them at that point in time, they wouldn't have gone away, because they had connections within the camp. He had to take a stand against these guys. He could have debated with them and sat down and said, okay, guys, let's talk about this. But then he would have given them another platform. They could have talked more, and you know what? Who wants to go there? What he did is he confronted them. He confronted them, and he said, you know what? This is God's work. He said, I replied, the God of heaven will help us succeed. It's God's work. We, his servants, we will rebuild this wall. And you have no share, legal right, or historical claim in Jerusalem. Do you see him? Eye to eye, face to face, saying, man, you know what? You are not going to dissuade me. I'm going to move forward. Yes. Submit yourself to God. James 4, verse 7. Resist the devil, and he will flee. And folks, there are times you just got to do a little bit of submission and a whole lot of resistance against the devil and against his enemies. And he will flee, is what it says in Scripture. I believe, and we all have a mountain that we face at some time. We're going to talk more about this next week. But I believe that we all have a mountain. And I'm wondering, what do we do about it? How are we moving forward? I'm going to call the worship team up at this time. And if you're in a place today that you're facing a mountain that seems so incredibly overwhelming, and you're sitting there and going, God, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I need help. Let me tell you, the reason you're here today is because this is your family. We love you, and we're here to pray with you and to stand with you. So I'm going to ask you to stand at this time, and I'm going to ask those that are part of the prayer team here this morning to come on up to the front. And if you need prayer in whatever it may be, whatever challenge, situation, struggle, whatever it is you're facing, they're here to pray with you. Because, see, I believe that God can move mountains today if we have faith to come up to him, to ask him for his intervention, his help. So God, I pray right now in Jesus' name for your people this morning. Whatever struggle, whatever challenge, whatever opposition, whatever they're facing today, where they need to see your hand, where that wall needs to be rebuilt, and maybe there are some walls that need to be torn down, Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you would intervene, that you would provide, that you would encourage, that you would empower. So Lord, as we go into this time of prayer, would you meet the needs that are represented here this morning? Lord, and would you be glorified in Jesus' name? If you need prayer at this time, the prayer team is up here. We're going to sing a couple of songs. If you need to go at some point in time, God bless you. But let's spend some time in prayer.